It was one of those sudden downpours that we get in the fall of the year. The clouds pile up in the, well, in the sky, of course. And all at once they open up and drop buckets of rain. It's no disgrace to get caught out in one of those downpours because they come very suddenly and without any warning. It rained hard for about 10 minutes. Then it stopped just as suddenly as it had come. The moment it stopped, J.T. Cluck went streaking out of the machine shed. Something about getting the worms when they were out of their holes and worms being good for his digestion. Something like that. Not that I cared, you understand. I was glad to be rid of him, regardless of the reason. I had planned to do a routine search for tracks and scent around the chicken house on the slim chance that it might turn up a lead in the case. But the rain had taken care of that and had reduced my chances of finding anything to near zero. Well, Drover, it's pretty clear what must happen now.
Yeah, the sun'll come out, and before you know it, we'll be dry again.
We've got no clues, no leads, no suspects. So far, it's been a dry run.
Yeah, but every little bit of moisture helps.
If you were in charge of things, what would be your next move?
Oh, I'd bring out the sun for a while and dry things out. Then I'd let it rain again.
I stared at him. What?
Oh, I just said, I don't think I said anything.
I thought I heard someone speak.
Not me. I didn't say a word.
That's odd. I could have sworn. Drover, this case has me stumped. I can't seem to find a handle. He looked around in a circle.
No, there aren't many around here.
Oftentimes, when we reach a dead end in a case, the best way to proceed is with a radical departure, something that will blow the case wide open. If you agree with that, as I'm sure you will, then tonight at dark, we will stake out the chicken house and wait for the villain to strike again.
Who's we?
We, Drover, meaning the entire security division.
Well, I don't know, Hank. I'm liable to be...
We're going to throw all units into this case and stay with it until we've got a suspect. I guess I don't need to tell you that this could get us into some combat. He stood up and began limping around in a circle.
You know, this change in the weather sure has done something to this old leg of mine. I don't know, but what...
A good long nap will fix you right up, Drover. Come dark, you'll be as good as new.
I don't know. This dampness...
Try it, Drover. I'm sure it'll work. But just in case it doesn't, think about life without dog food.
It does feel a little better now that I've worked out some of the soreness.
Good. Now let's get some shut-eye. I've canceled all the afternoon's operations. Everything's on hold until we break this case. Good night, Drover. Or maybe I should say... Good afternoon.
I think it's still morning.
Very well. Good morning.
Good night, Hank. I hope I can sleep with all this pain.
We curled up inside the machine shed and spent the entire afternoon throwing up long, lazy lines of Z's. It was a wonderful experience. Oh, there were a few minor interruptions. The flies were bothersome, but... We expect that in the fall and take certain corrective measures to reduce the nuisance factor. We're able to put our ears on automatic twitch, don't you know? And that pretty muchly takes care of the fly problem. Then, sometime in the middle of the afternoon, Loper came blundering into the machine shed and spent half an hour running the high-speed grinder. I have no idea what he was doing over there. Grinding on a piece of steel, I suppose. And it was very noisy, and after a while he must have gotten bored because he turned the grinder around so that it threw a shower of sparks on me. There are certain people in this world who can't stand to see someone else enjoying a peaceful sleep. It seems to bring out the very worst qualities in their nature. It turns them into maniacs and statistic pranksters. They won't take a hint, they won't go away, they won't quit tormenting the innocent party until the innocent party is dragged from the warm vapors of sleep. I ignored him as long as I could. I mean, I was aware of what he was doing. I knew that tiny fragments of red-hot metal were hitting the lower dorsal quadrant of my body. But I also knew that my hair would trap the sparks and allow them to cool before they made contact with my skin, which meant that I was fairly safe. I knew what he wanted, a big explosive reaction from me. Maybe it was stubbornness on my part, but I didn't want to yield to his childish prank. Twice I raised up and gave him a long, patient stare and whapped my tail on the cement floor as if to say, "Okay, you've had your fun. Now go away and leave me alone." You think that was good enough for him? I'm telling you, these cowboys are childish beyond your wildest dreams. No, sir, that wasn't good enough for him. And do you know what he did? He bore down harder on that piece of steel, which caused the grinder to throw out sparks that were even bigger and hotter than the ones it had thrown out before. And it was only a matter of time until his infantile wish was granted. Yes, at last one of the bigger and hotter fragments of steel burned through the outer protective layer of hair, dropped down to the skinillary region of my left dorsal hiney, and burned itself into the consciousness of my mind. At which point, I erupted from the warm vapors of sleep, leaped several feet in the air, screeched, "Oh!" and moved my business to the northwest corner of the machine shed, where I took up sleep between Loper's canvas-covered canoe and three dusty boxes that contained Christmas tree decorations. As I passed Drover, he opened one eye, which resembled a single grape suspended in a bowl of red jello, and he muttered,
"Murgo pork chop, skinny Ricky tattoo."
To which I made the only sensible reply, "Oh, shut up." Well, judging by the amount of laughter that went up over by the grinder, Loper got a big kick out of his stupid, childish, infantile, stupid prank. Oh, yes, a big chuckle. In fact, at one point, he sank to his knees and pounded the cement with his hands, while I glared daggers at him from the gloomy darkness of the machine shed and thought unkind thoughts about him. As far as I could determine, the thought had never entered his mind that he had intruded into the precious rebuilding and restoring time of the head of ranch security. Did it ever occur to him that soon, all too soon, I would be out on the front lines, alone in the darkness, facing some horrible, trudging thing of the night, providing his ranch with its first line of defense, protecting his ranch, his chicken house, his wife's daily supply of eggs, without which... Oh no, none of that. He thought only of his own childish, infantile pleasures and tormenting a poor, overworked, unappreciated dog and depriving him of his precious sleep. Now, if he'd done the same thing to Drover, that would have been a slightly different deal, seeing as how Drover's used primarily in a backup capacity and his role in the overall... But no, he chose me as his victim and... Oh, well. Sometimes the mind reels at the follies of this life. Okay, at long last, Loper had his fill of childish folly rot and went back to... I almost said work, but that might have been overly optimistic. He went back down to the corrals and did whatever it was that he'd been doing before. But the important thing was that he left me alone so that I could sleep and prepare my body for the deadly combat that almost certainly lay ahead of me. At last, I dropped off to sleep. But for the next 4 hours, I dreamed of high-speed grinders and showers of sparks. And every time a fly landed upon my body, I twitched and groaned and waited to be scorched. It was, to put it briefly, a fistful sleep. Fitful sleep, that is. Then, the moment came for awakening. I pushed myself up from the rags and shreds of cardboard upon which I had been forced to sleep. I saw the rays of the twilight sun pouring in through the cracks in the big double doors. And I knew that the time had come. In slumber, my life had marched on through time to the roll of invisible drums, bringing me closer, ever closer, to the moment when I would face. Limbering up my body, doing a few calisthenics, the freshly awakened mind has trouble grasping big words, while going through several exercises to promote the flow of bodily fluids, I found myself wondering who he was. A deadly badger? A skunk? Perhaps carrying rabies? A member of the wild coyote tribe? An enormous boar coon with teeth that could rip a dog to shreds? And I wondered what he was doing at that very moment, what preparations he might be making for his slouch through darkness, what thoughts were passing through the shadows of his criminal mind. I could only guess, and guessing about such matters seldom leads to happiness. In the end, I preferred ignorance over bliss, or whatever the old saying is. I made my way through the gloom of the machine shed and called to Drover in a soft voice. Drover, the moment has come. We are called to meet our fate in the night. Didn't faze him, so I gave him a boot and yelled, "Get up, half-stepper! It's time to go to work!" That did the trick. He staggered around in circles for a minute or two, and then we marched out into night's last day. Day's last light, I should say, and began our lonely vigil.